Assalamu alaikum. Welcome and thank you for downloading the Ministry of Dawah podcast. Search for us on Facebook and on YouTube. This week's topic is Britain hasn't got talent.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأني أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي وبعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his blessed book that he has created man in the best stature. He has created him as the best of creation. And then he lowered him to the lowest of the low. So how can the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation lower themselves to the lowest of the low? And how were they the best in the first place? They were the best of creation because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed mankind with the power of thinking, blessed mankind with the power of choosing right from wrong and choosing his path in life. So that mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave human beings made him the best of man of creation. And then they lowered them to the lowest of the low. And who lowered themselves to the lowest of the low is mankind themselves. Instead of using their mind to act, they became not even like the animals, worse than the animals. Because the animals worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the human beings with the mind who act animalistic do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you've seen, in this society and the last clip, how the human beings are acting in the society. So obviously the topics of today's talk is about, you know, you saw a few clips from the show Britain's Got Talent, which is a very famous show. Everyone's watching it. But we titled it Britain Hasn't Got Talent. And it's not a title against the show itself, or to say that Britain hasn't categorically got talent. It's not about that. But what the talk is about British culture and how British culture, youth culture specifically, by and large, has got no talent and should get three X's. And the last clip you saw, you know, about the hoodies and all this stuff, you know, it was an advertisement for a channel, but these, if you read the papers, if you listen to the newspapers, if you watch TV, all the commentators are talking about the decline of British values, the decline of British values, such that you've got a rampage, as you know, they showed in that video, of hoodies all over the place, no discipline, no upbringing, and of causing havoc on the streets. Well, first I want to start off with how Britain was perceived throughout the world. You know, before, there's the famous song, Britain ruled the waves. Britannia ruled the waves. Because Britain did rule the world. It had a huge empire. And they said about the British Empire that the sun never sets on the British Empire. And you know why they said the sun never sets on the British Empire? Is because the empire was so huge that there was always in one part of the empire the sun shining. So okay, the sun might have gone down in London, but in India, the sun is still shining. And that was part of the British Empire. Or in China. So they said the sun never sets on the British Empire. And then people get fascinated by all the kings and queens of England. King George and all the other kings and queens of England. And then when the British are very famous for the English tea, for Earl Grey, sipping the English tea, as Brother mentioned a couple of weeks ago, sipping the English tea and having scones and cream and playing cricket on the summer's day and croquet and polo. The British people, you know, the English nature is very famous. The English gentleman and Shakespeare and Robin Hood. So people throughout the world, when they thought of the English and the British, they thought of them, even though they occupied their lands, they looked up to them. And even, you know, our parents, they still look up to them. They say, Ranil Basha, they say, you know what I mean? We came to the Queen's country. And they still respect them. Because it was, they saw how the British, you know, few people came to their country and occupied their country. And they were so, they say, civilized about it. They used to order the killing of hundreds of thousands over a cup of tea. And this is how the British were perceived in the times of the empire. But Britain today has taken a stark fall in terms of its perception throughout the world. The average Briton travelling throughout the world is, they say, it was voted as, Britons were voted as the worst tourists in Europe. This was for by the hoteliers, the people who have the hotels. They said the British tourists are the worst. Drunkard, loud, you know what I mean? Vomiting all over the place. And you see the pictures of when they go to Ibiza, Ayanapa, and all these places. They just take over the place and they, you know, drink and drugs all over the place. In Spain, just in 1 year, there was 2,000 arrests of Britons, which was 33% up on the previous year. In America, there was almost 1,500. In Cyprus, there was around 300. In UAE, there was 200 arrests. So when Britons travel abroad, they get a really bad reputation. And you've seen the pictures of all the Britons that are going abroad, getting drunk, staying out all night, causing havoc wherever they go. And then you have the football hooligans. Whenever England has a football match, all the police authorities in that country, they get a bit worried because there's going to be a riot by the football hooligans. And when you see, you know, the funny thing is when you see, it's got a bit better now, but when you see, you know, when you see the other teams, they're all, you know, drinking together and doing everything together. When you see the English fans, they're all huddled together because they're ready for a fight. And this is how the English and the British are perceived abroad. No longer are they seen as the English gentlemen sipping tea and playing cricket. Because they are, now they've seen, because at that time when they saw the British, they saw the upper classes. They only saw the upper classes. They didn't really see the average Briton. Now they're seeing the average Briton because they're all flying, Britons are all flying abroad on cheap EasyJet flights. And now they've seen the real Britons. So if we now look closer to home, in Blighty itself, there's so many problems with specifically British youth culture. We've got the gangs. We've got the gangs that are in the working class areas, full of gangs. You've got your postcode wars. Everyone knows obviously about the postcode wars. Some person can't go from one postcode to another postcode. It's like, you know, when you've got your TomTom, the TomTom is only for that postcode. Because they go to another postcode, they're worried about getting bricked or something like that. And then in this area, you've got, obviously you've got the problems, just, you know, you can't go to Euston, you've got to stay in King's Cross. We have to keep on shifting the talk from one place to another place because one, you know, area is not going to come down because they've got beef with this area and that area. You've got these knife crime that you've seen. Last summer there was a huge spate of knife crimes. Every week there was about 2-3 kids getting stabbed to death. And this is the impression now we have. Not the impression, this is what we live in. And some of the school teachers are saying that we've got kids as young as 9 years old as part of gangs. Kids as young as 9 years old, part of gangs. We've got some of the older members that hang around school after school, try and recruit younger people. So then you've got the gang problem. And then you've got the binge drinking problem. And Britain is the heaviest alcohol consumer in Europe. They consume the most alcohol in the whole of Europe. 1 in 4 adults, British adults, are binge drinkers. What is a binge drinker? They'll go out on a Friday night, Saturday night, and get, you know, get smashed. That's what they say. We're going to go out tonight, and we're going to get smashed. And they'll wake up in someone else's bed. They don't know who it is. And this is how their society is. They, you know, I haven't worked in a non-Muslim country for a few years, but this is what they tell you. They say, oh, I woke up in someone else's bed the other day. Didn't know who it was. So-and-so this. This is how they live their life. They'll wake up in someone else's doorstep with sick all over them. Urinated trousers. This is how, what is binge drinking? This is how when you see them on a Friday, Saturday night. You'll see them on a Friday, Saturday night, huddling around pubs. Saturday night, you'll see them, you know, it's cold. You know, the girl, you know, the girls are wearing mini skirts, screaming and shouting. You hear them, when you wake up for Fajr, you still hear them screaming and shouting, walking down the road. This is what you get, you know, in this society. And then you've got your drugs. You know what I mean? Britain, it's always the top of these tables. It's Britain also is the worst drug abuse in Europe. So it must have some talent. It's got 281,000 people in England alone on heroin. That's 250,000 people in England on heroin. And heroin is the one of the hard drugs. You've got crime, huge crime increase when drugs was introduced, you know, mainstream. And when, if you go to the schools, most people, most of the youth, if you go to the working class schools, the most of them are smoking weed. You know what I mean? The people say it's, you know, it's strange to find some of these kids from ethnic backgrounds that don't smoke weed. Because they're all smoking weed. Something normal. Something, you know, you see them in the streets all smoking weed. So this is part of the talent of Britain. And then you've got teenage pregnancies. And once again, Britain is the highest teen birth rates in Western Europe. So once again, it's top of the table. You know what I mean? I'm like Manchester United that won the league the other day. England is top of the table in a lot of other things. So the highest teen birth rates in Western Europe, twice as high as Germany, 3 times as high as France, and 6 times higher than Holland. And it's something, you know, when you see these programs, you know, these comedy programs, I can't remember that actor's name, that the fat guy, but that girl. It's something, you know, it's part of the common culture that I've got a baby. You know what I mean? I'm 13 years old and I've got a baby. There was one family I saw a picture of. There was 3 girls, 12, 14 and 16, and they all had kids. They all had kids. And how do they want to solve this problem? They said, we need to make sex and relationship education compulsory. Let's teach them about it. And this is what we get growing up in the society. And then you've got your kids, your children. In this table, instead of being top of the table, Britain is bottom of the table of across 21 industrialized nations for the child well-being. Top of the table for 21 industrialized children for child well-being. And what is this child well-being? It's how the kids are growing up in the society in terms of health, in terms of social well-being, in terms of poverty and all these sort of things. And one of the authors of this report, I think it was a United Nations report, they say because Britain has a dog-eat-dog society. Dog-eats-dog society. Everyone just thinks about themselves, care about themselves, and they're, you know what I mean? All the, you know, your friends that you have aren't your real friends, because any chance you get, you will do one over on your friends to get, you know, get a bit of profit or to do something against them. And this is a society we've grown up with, our 21 industrialized nations, Britain comes bottom of it. And there was another report by one of the unions, school teachers unions, teachers and lecturers unions, and they were looking into what children want to be when they grow up. You know, do they want to be a biologist, a doctor, an engineer, scientist? You know, do they want to be a craftsman and a mechanic and all these sort of things? Most of the kids, they don't want to be any of this. They just want to be famous. When they ask, what do you want to be? They don't say, I want to be famous. One of the, you know, one teacher said, one of the girls I asked, he said, when they asked, what do you want to be? She goes, I just want to be a wag. What is it? You know, if you don't know what a wag is, it's just the wife and girlfriend of one of the football players. Most of the role models are the Beckhams, Victoria and David Beckham. They want to be like Britney Spears and all these things. And the teachers were saying, we're shocked by the aspirations of kids. They see the magazines, you know, Wow, Now, and Hello, and Goodbye, and all these magazines. And they just want to be like that. They want to be on the front page of that. They want to be on the front page of these magazines. They want to be in, you know, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. They just want to be famous any way that's possible. And there's a quote by the Children's Commissioner for England. He says, we are turning out a generation of young people who are unhappy, unhealthy, engaging in risky behavior, who have poor relationships with their families and peers, and who have low expectations and don't feel safe. They're saying we've got a major problem with the young kids in the society. That last clip I was showing you, that 1 minute clip, you know, it's exaggerated, but this is what is being felt by a lot of people, that there's a big problem with the youth generation. Because they see these role models that I mentioned, the Beckhams. They see people like, you know, Amy Winehouse with her song Rehab, because she was going into rehab on drug abuse. They see these football stars that always, you know, you will see everyone, at least once a week, you will see them getting into some ruckus at some nightclub, getting arrested and all these things. And these are their role models. And they say there's a big problem here. That all these kids that want to be, is this want to be like them? Because they want to be in the front page of the magazine. And with Muslim youth, we don't have any real role models. So our role models become the same. The same role models, the Beckhams, and the Britney Spears, and the Amy Winehouses, and all the other role models that the non-Muslim children have. And we can see how their kids are growing up. So what do we do? Who do we follow? What role models should we take to get us out of our children out of, and ourselves out of this mess that we find Britain in? A Britain of little talent. But we have plenty of role models in our history. Plenty of role models in our history that are far, far and away from the role models that we see in the front pages of these cheap magazines. I just want to play a video of one of these role models that we have in our history, inshallah. Inshallah. As you've seen the video of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, who was, as you saw in the video, when he first became the Sultan, he was only 12 years old. Only 12 years old. And then when he took his position again after his father died, he was 18 years old. And when he conquered Constantinople, he was only 22 years old. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned him. Subhanallah, he conquered Constantinople 800 years after the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned him. He said, the best of its rulers is its ruler, and the best of its army is its army, or the one that conquers it and opens Constantinople to Islam. So Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih was mentioned on the tongue of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Constantinople, I remember when I was in primary school, you know, we used to have the, you know, the word quizzes. And one of the quizzes was, what is the longest name of a city? And it was always Constantinople. It was the longest name of any city, even though there was no such thing as Constantinople for 700 years. Constantinople was a seat of the great Byzantine Empire. And there was in British Museum, just a few months ago, they were hosting an exhibition about Constantinople. And they showed, I think it's from 600 BC to 1453 BC. And there's a specific date when Constantinople ended. And it was when Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih entered and conquered Constantinople for Islam. And then he changed the name, as he mentioned, to Istanbul, which means the city of Islam, which today is known as Istanbul. So Constantinople today is Istanbul. And Hagia Sophia was the greatest Christian cathedral in the world. It was the greatest Christian cathedral in the world. And it is conquered by the Muslims, and today you will go and see it in the shape of a mosque. And all the other grand mosques of the Ottomans after that were shaped around Hagia Sophia because of its beautiful construction. So why we mention Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih as a role model? Because Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih wasn't an Arab. He wasn't an Arab. He wasn't a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't of the first few generations. He came 800 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a young man when he made the great feat of conquering Constantinople. He was just 22 years old. And so this is a hero in a history of the Muslims. A hero in the history of the Muslims. He named Al-Fatih, the conqueror, because he conquered the city of Constantinople. And that was the end of the Byzantine Empire. And so what a role model we have in Sultan Muhammad Al-Fatih compared to all the other role models and football stars and pop singers that we see in front of us today, we see in the magazines, on the TV and in the news. Sultan Muhammad Al-Fatih is a much bigger role model for us to follow. And this is a role model we should look up to. But there's one thing missing in regards to Sultan Muhammad Al-Fatih and all the other role models that are mentioned from the Sahaba and others in our history, is the Khilafah state. It was the Khilafah state that brought generations after generations of role models to the Muslim world and to the world in general. Europeans and the disbelievers, they write many books about the Muslim role models. But these were churned out by the Khilafah state. And today there is no Khilafah state for us to make new role models. But there is a Khilafah state that needs its return. And then you will become a role model in working for its return. You will become a hero like Muhammad al-Fatih in working for its return. And maybe in the future cartoons will be made about you because of the heroic feat that you did in returning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this earth. وَأَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمُ.
Thanks for downloading this podcast. You can subscribe to it from our blogspot at centralmod.blogspot.com to receive our weekly podcast. Assalamu alaikum.